Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like Steven, we sell scented sweatshirts. And the Shopify customer service team helped us so much. And I would say we had questions at 3, 4 a.m. They were there.
For sure. And I think it's why they help turn browsers into buyers.
Totally.
So if you want to manufacture true crime leggings in Guatemala and sell them in Indonesia, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase, today.
That's shopify.com/bookclub. shopify.com/bookclub.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Who's that knocking at the door? It's all your friends, you filthy whore. Your husband's gone and we've got books and a bottle of wine to kill.
It's Hollywood.
It's books.
It's gossip.
I'm shook.
It's memoirs.
It's martinis.
It's Studio 54.
It's the ladies. Celebrity Book Club. Come read it while it's hot. Celebrity Book Club. Tell your secrets, we won't talk.
Celebrity Book Club.
No boys are allowed.
Celebrity Book Club.
Say it loud and proud.
Celebrity Book Club.
Buzz me in, I brought the Cuervo.
Hey, best friend. Oh my God, Lily Morata.
Steven Filipina Horst. So yeah, we're literally so popular that we're doing another episode of our famous hotline call-in episode.
Because we couldn't get through all your voicemails. It was just too fun and we just enjoyed listening to you too much. And we want to give everybody their chance to get on this pod. So yeah.
Okay.
Part two.
Hi, Steven and Lily. My name is Ginger. First of all, I'm fucking obsessed with you both, obsessed with the entire pod, cannot stop talking about it. Literally, people have been telling me to shut the fuck up because it's my entire personality now. Basically, I just wanted to ask you if you could do a dinner party mashup with all of the fucked up people you've been reviewing, like who would be invited and how would the scene play out? Like, what do you think would happen if you brought all these people together? Or just your favorites. Also, every time I see a monk pack, I flip my fucking lid because I feel like I'm just seeing something that's close to you in your heart. So anyway, thank you. Love you literally so much. Bye.
Okay. Love you, Ginger. Obviously, we're serving only monk pack. It's a flight of monk packs.
Oh, and it's so like, you're so Bloomberg, like eating the monk pack with a knife and fork.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, Elizabeth Taylor is letting the no thank yous fall like rain. She's not having the monk pack cookie.
She's there. She's logging.
She's logging away as we're serving tuna and grapefruit peels. I mean, Janice is holding court. She's obviously trying to fuck Agassi.
Yeah, she's like in a corner. She's smoking. She's with Agassi. I think Chasten is cooking. And he's like so stressed and like sweating bullets.
Yeah.
He's doing this New York Times indoor sweater. And it's this New York Times recipe that like.
It's printed out. Oh, and it's like he's getting these grubby little mitts all over the printout.
And okay, so it's Chasten, Janice, T.
Tana's trying to talk to Janice, but like she's not having a word of it because she's like trying to get fucked by Agassiz.
I think Tana is actually like having a long conversation with Barbara where she's kind of pretending to be interested, and she's being like, okay, but what about your business? And like, what about like expanding that business? He'd be like, well, I just don't have the time and I have to do this. And I think he's like making a lot of excuses
for the queer. And she's like, well, what's going on? Like, what's going on in the back end? And what was your contract?
What's the back end with the contract? And like, what's going on with the Mormon girl? And like, are you going to like,
and do he's
you
like, well, have I sold it. Brand? And I think he's like, I think with my queer contract and like, blah, blah, blah.
She sees right through him.
Ellen is obviously like offering money to Chasten for the house, and then is like bulldozing it.
Yeah, she's trying to buy the house. I'm not inviting Azeez to this event.
I was
event.
About to say, yeah, but I think like, okay, is Azeez like showing up with like empanadas that he brought?
From like a local, like awesome spot?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think that he is like
just going
normal
eating.
Enough to know that you don't bring food to a dinner party and that you bring wine.
Okay. And he's bringing a
super glue glue wine.
He's bringing a glugger. Glue glue, or he is like coming with like an awesome mezcal.
Oh, maybe it is a mezcal.
He does
want to turn all the way up. And David Chang is definitely imbibing the mezcal.
Yeah, I mean,
say.
Honestly, I think like Azeez and Chang are going like,
I mean, I feel like
toe
they must
to
be friends.
Toe. I think their friends are going, he was on his show.
He was on the show, okay.
And Azeez was like, oh, who should I talk to? And like, what like chick should I?
David Ogilvy is having a martini.
No, he's having like a Schweppes and rum.
He's having a Schweppes and Puerto Rican rum. Well, no, he's asking Chasten. He's like, do you have any Puerto Rican rum?
Chasten was like, I have Tito's.
I have Bullet, and I have like a Pride Edition Mount Gay that we've never opened. And like Ogilvy is just being like, I absolutely shan't touch that.
I feel like Janice, just to bring it back to Janice and Agassiz, is like she's fucking him and then like eyeing Ogilvy and being like, wait, fuck, I need to kind of like get in on that too.
Yeah. She's like, attracted to a mind.
Ugh. And she sees, I mean, he's got the money in the bank.
I mean, I'm trying to fuck Ogilvy, goddamn.
Tegan and Sarah,
they're definitely show leaving
up
early.
Early. No, they show up early and leave early. Lesbian stuff.
No, they're so first ones there.
And they're like, hey, Chasten.
And they're bringing succulents that are like brand new succulents that like have a tag on them. You know what I mean? Where you buy it at a store.
And they're like, happy housewarming. Showing up with like each tiny different succulents. One of them is drinking. One of them is like taking a break for the month.
Yes. One of them is doing like sober July. Like, wait, this party sounds so fun.
I know. I want to go. If only we could. Do we have flies in the wall?
Oh, Jennifer's Lewis. Jessica Simpson. I mean, Jennifer Lewis is having a gas.
Yeah, she's having a gas. I also feel like she's kind of on vacation, but it's still showing up.
Did she come is my question. Because I could see her just sending her regrets.
I'm sending my regrets. I'm in Greece. But I feel like she's also so LGBT plus proud.
Yes, so she would support Justin.
She also might be like weirdly taking Chasten out for drinks
before
to one of her shows.
Right.
She's giving
more
him
about
a
her.
Pass to Black-ish.
Yeah.
Like a studio.
Yes, he's doing a studio visit at Black-ish. And she's like, darling, you want to see how the magic is made?
Jessica can't come. She's in Cabo. Demi's on the ranch.
Demi's absolutely not coming.
No.
Oh, and is Kevin Garnett there?
I kind of think he is. Well, but he, no, but wait, we got tea that he like didn't go out.
Yeah. This Boston Globe reporter we talked to said that Kevin Garnett like never left his house when he lived in Boston. He was like such a shut-in.
Okay, wait.
Yeah, Kevin Garnett obviously has this huge house where he's entertaining his friends, but I don't think he's going to Chasten's just like DC townhouse in Logan Circle.
I think Teresa's coming and doing a reading and leaving.
She's absolutely doing a reading. Barbara is getting a reading.
Yes.
Well, because Barbara does tarot.
Right. She's definitely reaching Barb's grandmother.
Yeah.
And she's coming. And then, like, once it's done, she takes her tape recorder and is like, thank you so much for having me at your space. Have a wonderful night.
I think similar to the Pro Bros, like, they'll go to the opening of an envelope and, like, he's bringing Deschanel or whatever. And, like, they are showing up for 45 minutes before they're like, we actually have to go to the launch of a non-alcoholic tequila at the Moxie Hotel.
Same with Johnny Cochran. I mean, maybe Teresa's just contacting him, but I feel like Johnny is coming and shaking hands and...
But he's shaking hands and then holding court and then having more wine. I mean, he's... I feel like he's so indulgent.
I think he's there to stay. Oh, I mean, him and Barbara?
As long as, like, the Cabernet Sauvignon is flowing, Johnny is staying.
I feel like Johnny obviously would not cheat on Dr. Dale, but I think he'd consider it Barbara.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. She's coming in one of her little bodycon dresses.
Ooh, God damn. He likes a woman his
same
age. Let's
just say his Cochran is at attention.
Don't forget about Kelly Catrone.
Oh, my God. Kelly Catrone.
Well, she's doing PR for
the
event.
She's doing PR. She's doing Door.
She's iPad.
She's iPad.
Managing plus one.
She's logging. She's reporting. She's so present at this event. She's a little too present.
Oh, and the Bellas.
Oh, wait. Fuck. The Bellas.
They're bringing their
wine,
too.
They're bringing the wine.
They're coming.
They're absolutely coming.
They're an amazing guest. No, I love the Bellas.
They're having tons of fun. She's like... Seriously, we have Chasten's dinner really soon. Yeah. And they're getting their big SUV.
They're getting there at like 7:10. And she's being like, I'm so sorry we're late. Like, yeah. Brie was in Brie mode.
And then obviously, like, they get in Brie mood. And I feel like Brie mood, I feel like Janice is like
weirdly
annoyed by them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, weirdly. Yeah.
I just feel like it's this Janice thing where like.
She's so pissed at these like young brunettes who like didn't earn it.
Well, and then by the end, she's like,
no, then she's actually a huge supporter.
I do respect when she...
Because she hears their story.
And their work ethic.
Yes. And that they really actually did have to work for everything they had. And then people think it was just handed them and that wrestling is easy. And she's like, no, you had to work because she's so like, I paid my dues before I was in.
And she has no... She thinks they're just like delicious and doesn't realize they're wrestlers.
Right.
And she's like, that's actually fucking kick ass.
And there's a ton
go
of
girls.
Athleticism required.
Okay, we could go on about this all day. We have to move on.
We're going to leave this dinner party. Chasten, thank you for having us.
Yes. Come over soon.
Hey, I'm a big fan of your podcast and your both of your online presences. And I was wondering, what do you think are the ethics of posthumously outing my ex? He passed like last year and I stay pretty distant from the family and, you know, any friends that contacted me. Because like, as far as I know, you know, I was the only guy he was with. And that relationship happened like years ago, but he was like really important to me and shit. I don't know. We were both like using, so like drugs, I mean, and like maybe things got confused. Maybe like, I don't fucking know. Do you think that's like self-indulgent for me to like go around being like, oh, like to his mom, like you should know the truth about your son because like, honestly, I don't think he would have wanted that. I don't know. Anyway, let me know. And then if you don't want to answer that question, my other question is, I'm living with a straight girl for the first time come July 1. And I'm kind of scared. Do you have any advice? All right. Cool. Looking forward to it. Your podcast, I mean.
Can we stop this here?
How long is this going on for? Oh.
No, babe.
No,
babe. Move on. Go to Six Flags.
Let it go.
Okay. Get a hobby. Ride a roller coaster.
Find someone else. I mean, I think that the only way that I
thank you. Thank you for calling.
Sorry, thank you for your calling. And, like, I'm obsessed with the fact that you're a fan and that's beautiful. And I love that we're helping you through this tough time. And like post the passing of your ex. That sounds like you hadn't dated in years.
Yeah, so the ex passed. They were, and I'm super sorry about that. You were both using drugs while you were dating.
Right. It just that was a dark time. I mean, you don't know if he came out to his like cousin or whatever.
Right. Could have been like his cousin hooked up.
Right. Or maybe him and his sister just like had this really beautiful conversation like while he was dying. Or I don't know if it was an OD or if it was like an illness where everyone did know it was happening. But I feel like you're kind of assuming.
I don't know what that's going to do for his family. Unless the only way in which I think it would help, if it was like a, let's go there because it's about that. If he committed suicide and they're wondering why he committed suicide.
Yeah.
And you think he committed suicide because he was so closeted.
Or,
and that will give them some sort of relief or something.
Or if like he had been abused by the father and one of the other siblings like had also been abused and hadn't come out about it. And if you were able to like have this whole Mare of Easttown saga where you like walked in on their Thanksgiving dinner and then there was this like whole drama and everyone is like crying right. in like the separate room, but then it comes out the father was abusive and then everyone can like start healing and you are the catalyst for that, like maybe, but then just like wait until you get the invite, I guess.
I feel like what's really going on here is that like you miss your ex, you want some connection to him still, so you're like, how do I have a conversation with his family? And like that's the easiest thing to start something else, but you could also just email his mom. I'm kind of guessing she's more Facebook vibes, though. I'm already getting this big Facebook vision.
Yeah.
And you're saying, hey, what's up, Colleen?
She's got a quilting circle.
Yeah, you know, what's up? And, like, maybe you ask her to a mark, or maybe you just, you know, are like...
I don't think him and Colleen even live in the same state. Like,
you're
this
right.
would just be this, like, message just to be like, just so you know, like, your right. son was gay and we dated 10 years ago.
I think it's just a shout out to be like, hey, I was friends with your son. How are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Leave it at that. And if something comes about from this messaging...
That actually is a good point. So you could send a less descriptive message, a less revealing message that was I'm friends with. And if they want to... you know, pull the thread of that sweater and watch that sweater unravel, then that's the family's choice. But I do a 100 agree with you, Elle, which is that he misses the ex and wants to have a connection. And it's like, ultimately, you know, you have to process that grief on your own and with your friends and your community and your loved ones.
Right.
But, you know, they can't necessarily.
Giving this family this shocker.
Yeah.
It's not probably not going to make you feel closer
no.
to them.
No.
So...
But best of luck.
Truly best of luck, yeah. And if you do end up, you know, send us, I don't know why I'm going there, but yeah, you could send us screen grabs of the Facebook messaging that I'm suggesting.
Yeah. we will ask your permission to share if we do decide to post.
Yeah, those will be really awesome on social.
Okay, next message.
Hey, best friends. I'm a proud club kid, listening since day one. You guys are my absolute favorites. You've taught me so much about the world. Thank you for everything you do. So I'm especially obsessed with all the episodes you guys have done that kind of identify the horror of early 2010s millennial culture vis-a-vis food truck life and Amazeballs and like Bonobos. Basically everything from the Shastan episode and Aziz and a bunch of others. Like, I just really appreciate the identification of the embarrassing, awful hallmarks of that era that we're just now kind of getting enough space from to understand. I don't feel like enough people are talking about this, and you guys are doing a lot for that analysis. So as my number one kind of cultural critic, chicas, what are things that you guys think people are doing, eating, living around now that we're going to look back on or sort of can start acknowledging with kind of disdain and an understanding of the harm and problems that they cause, but like currently we're all getting away with. Also, please do Is Today the Day, subtitle Not Another Political Memoir by Tulsi Gabbard. I've never read it, but I just think it's probably insane. Okay, thank you. I love you. Bye.
I love you, too.
Absolutely obsessed with you, too.
Yeah. Wow, thank you.
I'm getting a sense that our audience is gay.
Gay, I know. And I already told you this via text message, but I got recognized today in a coffee shop by a gay guy.
Oh, weirdly, when you told me that story, I was thought it was a straight guy.
Well,
because when you say coffee shop in Ditmas Park, yeah. I think straight guy.
It was at a coffee shop called Coffee Mob, which was already like so straight in Austin. Two, I was already eavesdropping on his conversation with these three like Gen Xers. And it was so straight because this guy was like, and I was totally into the skateboarding scene. And then I moved to this area. And then when I came back, the skateboarding style had totally changed. So it was already, and so I was listening to them,
the
and then
of skate culture,
right,
in certain communities.
Yes, and how maybe the style had changed from like big shorts to littler shorts or the reverse. And then he came up to me. Anyway, Jed, if you're listening, shout out.
Shout
that
out
made
to
me
Jed.
Feel pretty cool.
Okay, so Jed is a gay.
Like
friends with skaters.
Friends with skaters.
But he wasn't a skater. He wasn't just like head to toe dickies.
No, he was kind of more like Finn and tank top and just like.
Sort of pretty normative. Chicago he him.
No, much more
not
like.
Not so nurse.
A little more fairy. Like.
Oh, okay.
A little more like fairy, South Brooklyn, yeah. Artsy,
say
maybe
no
more.
Okay. Say no more. Truly say no more.
Okay, let's get into this.
What do we hate about culture right now?
Right now.
Super broad question. It's kind of putting us on the spot a little bit. I don't know. I maybe would have liked something a little bit more specific. I feel like we do kind of criticize contemporary
culture
a lot. I don't think just this 2010 pod, but.
I mean, I love that we're 2011.
It almost seems like a read of us a little bit. That's like all we do is talk about 2011, like taco teas. I'm like, actually?
I guess what he's saying is, what are we eating and drinking now that like we're going to look back on as like embarrassing?
Does he just want to see the obvious? To be like, oh yeah, remember when people stood in line for like a rainbow croissant? Like that's crazy. No one's going to do that
but
in
5 years. I feel like still early 2010s. I mean, I feel like it's like Roman culture.
Right.
I guess we still like do
which we love. I mean, we love just like broader Mediterranean, like
super briny, lemony pantry pastas.
I love lemony pantry pastas. I don't think that we're going to look back in 10 years and say, oh, can you believe when we were having lemony pantry pastas?
Actually, this is what I think. I think the turn will be a little bit about natural wine.
You think natural wine is going to retreat?
I think it's here to stay, but I think we're in a boom.
Yeah, we're in a boom, and I do think that the flavor palette is probably over-indexing right now on getting, like, as sour as possible, and a lot of things are becoming, like, so sour and so vinegary, and that's happening with beer, that's happening with hard kombucha.
Everything is, like, right, a hard kombucha, a sour ghost beer, that's a beer type.
I think you're right that there will be a retreat from that, and that wine will go back to being a little bit more winey and
A little bit more
parenty, like,
because I think
5 years.
The way we roast a mother's for like, an Oaky Chardonnay,
right.
And we're like, mom and his Chardonnay.
Oh, pardon me, my mom's about to open up a bottle of butter.
Yeah, right. And then
she calls a Chardonnay.
Our kids, or more likely, our awesome made family nieces are going to be so like, my parents' friends are like always like trying to drink like sparkling vinegar.
The nieces in our tribe are going to make fun of us for being so vinegary in our tastes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we nailed it. Thank you so much for your
question.
And thank you so much for your support. Next caller.
Hi, Stephen and Lily. This is Hannah, big fan of the pod. Since you asked, I did lose my virginity in a race car bed next to a cardboard cutout of Obama. I have a very important question I'm dying to know the answer to. Actually, it's a two-round sort of question. So it's a freak, marry, kill. First round, Tan France, Hunter Biden, and Chasen Buttigieg. And while you think about that, second round, Tegan and Sarah, the Property Brothers, and Barbara Corcoran. Looking forward to your answers. Thanks.
I love that one is so like much. Two sets of twins and then just Barbara.
Yeah.
She's got to compete against like
I
this
whole
army.
I thought the next one was going to be like lesbians, but it's more just twins.
Okay, wait. So kill, marry, fuck. Oh, first of all, she said freak, marry, kill.
Yeah, freak, marry, kill. Hell yes to our Christian listeners.
I feel like that's such
heck
a like
yes.
Greater Seattle, like evangelical Christian skater thing to say freak instead of fuck.
Oh, freak, marry, kill. Can I talk about the race car bed for
Let
a second?
Let me guess. This also race car bed also sounds very Bellingham to me. I feel like this bitch
Do you
is
remember?
I'm Greater Tacoma.
I'm putting
on.
One of our friends who I don't even think really listens to on the spot. Our friend, I'll call her Nellen. She like slept with this trans guy who had a race car bed who was like 41.
Oh, in the Bay Area.
Yeah, and I'm wondering
Wait,
if
that
it's
was
the same
DJ?
Person. They were nightlife adjacent,
it,
I think.
Okay, it sounds like. Yeah, I guess from the story, it sounds like this girl was not in her own bed because it was like sort of remarkable.
Yeah.
Like she didn't have this race car bed with the Obama cutout. So maybe it was someone, and maybe she lost her virginity to this 41-year-old trans nightlife person, adjacent personality in the Bay Area. And that kind of does, that could also be kind of her saying freak instead of fuck.
Right. I guess it could also be like,
because she's so like ferret
losing
house.
Your virginity in high school to just like a cis man who just like still has his twin race car bed. But it feels
No. Here's what it is. It's they were at like someone's house and they had sex in the like little brother's room.
Oh.
Where the, and like the mom who was like so
Obama-pilled?
Obama and a Miss NBC pilled, like had her Obama cutout like stored in the little brother's room because the little brother was away at camp and it happened in July. That's what happened, and I'm sorry, and you need to just accept that.
I think it's a little more the first one. To store, it's she wasn't, I'll just say this, the mom wasn't storing her Obama stuff in the room. I think it's more she's saying to all of her children, put up photos of Obama.
She said cardboard cutout, though.
Oh, that's insane.
That's
okay.
What I'm saying. That is something
that
you
is
put
storage.
A card. Thank you.
Okay.
Backpedaling,
you're right.
Eating
so,
shit
okay.
So fast.
Yeah, because actually, I don't think a trans guy in the Bay Area would have a full cardboard cutout.
No.
Of Obama.
I really do think that this, she lost her virginity to some guy. Maybe it was at a party. Maybe the parents went home for the weekend. It was a fun summer. The little brother was away at camp, and it happened in the little brother's room.
Okay. Now I agree with you.
Okay. Now, the second question. The Kill Mary Fuck. Kill Mary Freak.
Kill Mary Freak.
So, wait, the first one was Tan Hunter and who?
Chasten Hunter.
Obviously, Fuck Hunter.
Fuck Hunter. Oh. Wait. I mean,
being married to either of those is a fate worse than
honestly,
death.
Honestly, I'm marrying Chasten and killing Tan.
I know. The way I don't want to live in Salt Lake City and this, like...
and, like, be a Mormon.
Be a Mormon like, in this just, like, empty development.
And be sober. Like, at least Chasten, I can go to, like, drag bingo with, like,
no,
once
exactly.
every 2 months.
Actually, to be honest, like, Chasten's life is my ideal life. And he's this, like, housewife while Pete is at the Secretary of Transportation Bureau or whatever.
Right, and he's improv. And just,
he's
like,
so improv,
whatever.
And he's, yeah, absolutely doing drag bingo once every 2 months. Okay. Marry Chasten, fuck Hunter, kill Tan. And then, wait, Barbara, Property Brothers, and who?
Tegan.
Wait, yeah, I guess.
Property,
like,
Tegan.
Barbara.
Barbara.
I mean, Barbara is the horniest.
I'm fucking Barbara.
To pass up an opportunity to fuck Barbara Corcoran would be insane.
Madness. It's like...
Although, getting spit roasted by the Property Brothers? Goddamn.
I just... Ooh. Eiffel Towered by Property Brothers.
I mean, talk about a renovation. I mean, and twins also.
Yeah.
Because I've never fucked twins.
Neither have I.
It's something that I've really aspired to, I think. Okay, I'm going to have the Pro Bro Eiffel Tower. I am going to marry Barbara Corcoran.
Mm.
What's more fab than that?
I mean, true.
Tell me what is more fab than that.
I know. I guess I'm torn because I honestly would, like... I feel like I'm too similar to Tegan and Sarah. But now I think I'm fucking Tegan and Sarah and I'm marrying Barbara Corcoran. And I'm killing
the
and I'm killing Property Brothers.
Yeah, maybe you do that.
That just makes more sense. Obviously, I want to know what it's like to have sex with Barbara Corcoran. But like,
I don't think you want to live with the
I don't
want to
live. No, that's what I said. I was like the processing and
I know,
the
and
drama
like,
and the songwriting.
Wait, and they're like always coming out with a new sweatshirt or something.
No, it's like that's the thing. It's like they're leaving for tour and then coming back and being like so exhausted and designing a sweatshirt that just says like, we are twins, bride. And you're like, okay.
Okay. Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you.
Next call.
Hey, Stephen and Lily. I weirdly got cut off. Try to leave you a different message. I want to know what sort of vibe you want to put out with your own personal biography. Obviously, David Chang's putting out angry. Barbara Corcoran's putting out horny. Ellen DeGeneres is putting out that she has absolutely no taste. Speaking as an upholsterer who has done work for designers, they seem to never have any taste. Also, love the Australian accents. I've said as much on Instagram. Thanks. Bye.
Oh my god.
An Aussie upholsterer.
Oh my god.
Like a Melbourne-based upholstery business.
Well, now when we open up our Melbourne office, you can upholster it.
Wait, I've never been more excited to hear anyone's voice.
Wow. Not to put other calls under the bus, but best call yet.
Sorry, best call ever. No, I'm literally vibrating.
Aussie upholsterer. I mean, this is how we know, like, we have reached core audience. Aussie upholsterer. Obsessed.
Wow. putting the roar in Rome. Well, thank you so much for that question, for that little quizzy. He sounds like a fun guy.
Oh, I would like to go and try.
I'd love to see his portfolio. I don't even know what the question was. I'm too excited.
What would be the personal vibe of our personal biographies?
Right. I love the way he kind of summarized our takes on the different bios.
Yeah.
Angry Chang, horny Corcoran.
No taste, Ellen.
I mean, obviously, and I say this all the time, like, not to be so interview, but it's like Janice to me is the high watermark. And I'm like, oh, I want it to be so like drug, sex and rock and roll. And like constantly like flying to Milan and like losing your panties.
Yeah.
But would it actually just be more Ellen and I'm only talking about chairs?
You want to be Janice and it's like, you do get started on like, but no, then it's, it gets a little weird and angry because you get started like. Because then it would just be high beds for a full chapter.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to be Janice. No,
and you would just have three chapters on one lamp that you didn't buy.
Right. It's like, I'm thinking I'm having, like, more of this, like, Sopranos cookbook or something. Well, okay. I think the vibe of mine would be, like, hungry humor. It'd be a little more Monique. Well, we haven't done this book, but Monique, Skinny Women Are Evil.
Oh, and it would just be, like, listing, like, your top five favorite, like, restaurants in the Dallas airport?
Yeah, like, I would want it to be about my life, but then I would also want it to be, like, tips and, like, funny lists and stuff like that.
I mean, I love funny lists for you. I think that is, like, a huge part of your bio, and I definitely think that your font is going to go ahead and be big.
it's going to be accessible for folks of all different type of seeing.
I mean, the reality is, like, it probably is going to be more of a Lena Dunham collection of essays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think, no, and give yourself, you will have the Lena Dunham collection of essays, and some essays will be super slutty.
Right.
But some of them will also be so Oscar Wilde and manifestos and angry.
Anger
about,
manifestos about high beds, yeah, or what have you. Maybe, and that's my truth.
Maybe it'll be like the LL Cool J bio that I had my mom buy for me when I was 11, but an edition came out that had the sex chapter removed, and she bought me that version.
Wait,
I was so annoyed.
Bought you, like, the Christian version of the LL Cool J memoir?
Yeah.
How have you never mentioned this? We've been doing a podcast about celebrity memoirs for, like...
See? I was waiting for this exact moment.
There is always more toothpaste in the tube.
Yeah.
Wow. That is sending me.
I also love that his editors made him, like, put all the sex in one chapter so that they could make a...
They could make an abridged version.
A Christian.
A PG version.
PG.
PGLL Cool J. Wow. I wonder if you had read the sex part if you would be straight.
That changed it all. Don't you think it would have been gayer? I feel like maybe it would have given me more, like, being like, oh, wait, I can, like, fuck someone, I don't know, in a dressing room.
You would have actually been more into public sex because, obviously, famously, you're actually very afraid of public sex.
I'm not that afraid of public sex.
When was the last time you had any sort of exhibitionist element in your sex life?
I mean, probably mid-2010s. A few years ago.
Well, we're getting different numbers here.
I don't know. Yes, I'm more like bathroom based, not like fully.
Bathroom at a party.
Yeah.
Is as crazy as you get, but you're not being
bathroom
like,
in a bar, bathroom at a party.
Public park.
No, beach.
Beaches.
Too sandy.
Yeah, that's fair.
Sorry. I'm not saying I'm not open to it.
Right.
But I'm
I
just
think
not
that you
dying.
Might be a lot more open to it if you'd read that non-Christian version of the LL Cool J memoir.
Exactly.
And maybe I would be seeing you on the beach.
Getting super sunburned.
Getting
just
super
fucking
sunburned
away
and sandy,
on the beach.
Fucking away.
Celebrity Book Club.
This episode is sponsored by ZocDoc.
You're trying to find a cause for your symptoms.
Achy back, headache, runny nose, itchy eye, wart on my genitals.
So let me guess, you stumble down a TikTok rabbit hole full of questionable advice from so-called experts.
Suddenly I have cancer? No, thank you.
There are better ways to get the answers you want and the care you deserve from trusted professionals and not random people on the internet. Though randoms, I love you, and my TikTok addiction, yeah, it stands.
But I'm sorry, Lily, you shouldn't be getting medical advice from some girl in her grandmother's basement in Toronto.
ZocDoc helps you find expert doctors and medical professionals that specialize in the care you need and deliver the type of experience you want.
That's right. Ditch the talk, get the doc. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun.
No more doctor roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to connect you to your favorite doctor you haven't met yet.
I love a trusted guide, like the time I climbed to Machu Picchu on the Inca Trail with a team of Sherpas. Millions of people use ZocDoc's free app to find and book a doctor in their neighborhood who is patient-reviewed and fits their needs and schedule just right. So find your Sherpa at ZocDoc.com. Go to ZocDoc.com/bookclub and download the ZocDoc app for free.
Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Slay. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZOCDOC.com/bookclub. ZocDoc.com/bookclub.
Ditch the talk.
Next voicemail.
Hi, just calling in because I'm in the middle of the Ellen DeGeneres episode right now, and Lily mentioned that she was thinking about getting an article daybed. You know, just truly had to call in because I can't recommend article enough. So even if you do have to wait until December, it will be worth it. I have a couch and like a chair and an ottoman from there. So yeah, I hopefully get her daybed. And one time I saw Philip in the McDonald's in Ridgewood. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Sorry, did you just call me Philip?
Yeah, I saw Philip.
Wow, that's really, it's really giving me like education administrator. Be like, Philip?
Philip?
Is Philip here?
Philip Horse?
In the McDonald's of Ridgewood. Well,
here's the question.
That's believable.
McDonald's in Ridgewood, are we talking about the McDonald's in Knickerbocker? Because that's Bushwick.
No, it's on Myrtle, babe.
Oh, that Myrtle. Oh, that McDonald's.
Oh, that Myrtle. Oh, that
McDonald's. Okay.
Yeah. That McDonald's.
It's been a while, I guess.
Not for me.
I used to get off the train and be like, should I?
Mm-hmm.
And then I wouldn't.
And then you would say yes.
Sometimes I wouldn't. Anyway.
So we got a big article head
over
here.
Huge article head. And
I will say I've never articled. I've sat on our friend Kat Cohen's article.
Yeah.
And it is supportive and
comfortable.
Looks nice.
Yes.
So I agree with the concept. I know it's better than Wayfair.
Definitely better than Wayfair. But yeah, there was. I'm really glad you told me that because in the back of my mind, I was like, what if it's all this waiting and I order it and I get it?
You love to wait, though. I mean, I'll say
it's not that comfortable.
You're good at delayed gratification. I don't think I'm very good at delayed gratification. I'm not as patient of a woman as
you
are.
You want it now or...
Now or never.
Forget it.
Yeah.
And we just had this discussion about me not getting the article and getting a massive, massive low Italian sectional.
Which is what I truly wish for your apartment.
Right, which I think is also a gorgeous idea.
I would like you to get a $13,000 yeah. Jean Prouvé sectional.
I mean, talk about delayed gratification, because now I feel like it's between the December article or the 2024 13K sectional.
But you could get a 13K inspired sectional that's actually only 3K, custom made by a builder.
Yeah. Sectionals are mad money, though. I guess, okay, let's say I sell the Joybird for $800 on
there's
apartment
Joybird,
deco.
There's Joybird sectionals, you know what I mean?
But when you said sectional, I wanted to even beyond
Joybird. I agree. I'm thinking like absolutely massive.
If I'm getting a sectional, I'm not
and
just getting the bigger
like
Joybird.
No, I know. Although it's better than nothing. But yeah, no, I want this massive, deep orange, like brown lacquered Marnie.
Yes. No, like insanely 1960s. Sexy. 68 to 74 space
age. You have
age.
A sunken living room. It's right. Crazy to not have this like space age.
Massive space sectional. Age Marnie. So, but that also gives me time to make the 13K deadline. If I, you know, don't have the 13K by the time the article is available, we can then talk about it.
Okay. Next call.
Huge fan of the pod, long-time listener, long-time friend, forever fan. Sorry, I was just closing my door. I really love the work you've been doing, and I'm just so excited that you guys are reading so many books, because I'll never forget when I went to Steven's house the night after I got in the breakup. I'm going to keep it passive there. I slept at Steven's and he had this book next to his bed that was like about AIDS. And so just based on that, I knew he wasn't reading it and it was like really dusty. And it was clear that like he had had it there like accidentally for months even. And so it's like just insane that you're both reading a book every week. Just really proud of you for reading all the books and even taking notes and remembering facts. And just love your pod so much, and it gives me so much joy in life. And I can't wait until you, review my memoir whenever it comes out. Okay, thanks.
Wow. Thank you, friend of the pod, Alex. So accurate.
Truly, Alex.
For acknowledging what it is the biggest burden of this pod for us, which is actually reading books all the time. Less for you, Miss Page Hound over here, than for me, who famously hates reading.
Okay, sorry. It's, yes, I know you famously hate reading, and I am a page hound, but, like, it's also still hard for me. No, like, as you know, I'm word challenged.
Yes,
like,
I know, and you have undiagnosed dyslexia, and...
It's actually more, I think the dyslexia more is dizziness. More in the writing version, when the words from brain to pencil... come out hard. But anyway, thank you for Alex, because that's just huge. And do know, listeners, we don't read a book a week normally.
I mean the idea that I had a book about AIDS next to my bed, I mean, that is so me to not be reading that. And it was just either like a guy I'd slept with left it there, or I was just like trying to like make it look, I was probably just trying
it's
to
definitely
make it
the latter. It's yeah. Prop for guys to
it's
be
a
like
prop. Yeah.
Yes, of course I'm reading discourse on AIDS.
Yeah. For them to be like, oh, that's really interesting. I'm like, yeah, I'm actually this like gay guy who's like reading. Fuck me.
Piled with dust. Fuck me hard. Okay, next call.
Hey guys, so I was just wondering, after all these years of being friends, what sort of mechanisms or rituals keep you guys going? Thanks a lot.
The okay. What?
Obsessed that we're like this like Lisa Rinna and Harry Hamlin. No, and it's like, what are our rituals that like keep us going? Like, what do we try? Well, obviously we do tantric.
Tantric friend trip.
And it is very just like, we make sure we do get a hotel room
For 2 nights a week. And we go 8 hours just staring each other's eyes without laughing once.
No, and to be earnest, please. I mean, it's... This sounds simple, but it's spending time together.
So true.
It's keeping in touch. It's being raw. It's being vulnerable. It's calling each other out. Mm. It's being truthful.
It's the honesty. It's the accountability. And mm-hmm. It's the truth. You know, we're not afraid. We're not afraid to say what we feel and to tell each other, you know what? You look like a clown.
Or me to say, you look like your mother's...
Ooh, I'm ghost. Getting chills already. Oh,
wait, sorry. We were talking about those shorts earlier, and I was...
Yeah. You said my Jacques Moo were kind of mom.
Yeah, they were kind of mom. And it's saying those things.
Right. And then we know that. So, yeah, I think ultimately it's about honesty. And you
raw.
Be insanely raw.
Raw
WWE.
Dog. Yeah, raw.
Full raw. But also, and like, I will say, like, vacations, dinners.
Yeah, no, experiences. No, it's
very into experience-based entertainment. And like, you absolutely need to go on like multiple trips every year and like bring all your friends. And like, as Kristen Cavallari says, turn it up.
No, it's true, because like, I feel like sometimes I'm like, if it's been a few months since we've been to a casino, I'm like, have we even seen each other?
No, exactly. Yeah, like, I don't feel like we've been us if we haven't been in a casino in 3 months.
Yeah, because it's not just like, oh, same old girls dinner. Like, it has to be like, no, we drove here, we went to a casino, we tried to get in here.
And listen, that's us, that's our thing. Not every friendship might
I'm not
be
saying,
casino
right.
based, but there is something that's special to you guys. So find what that is, mm-hmm. find where you thrive the most, and just make sure to build that in. And you know, life is short.
So short, right? If it's like, oh, me and my best friend, our thing used to be just like going to graveyards, and we don't do anything more, and now we just get dinner, go back to the graveyard, you know?
I think that people also, especially in our adult life, like, we get so in our routines, and like, we don't want to be spontaneous.
Oh, I can fit you in after therapy.
And things become scheduled. Just like, really don't be afraid to be spontaneous, and don't be afraid to like push for the plan. Don't be afraid to be the friend who says, I'm coming over, I'm picking you up, we're going to Brighton Beach. I'm coming over, like, we're going to like this thrift store. It's like, just have fun. And remember, because it's like, ultimately, you know, the best thing about friendship is that you don't have to fuck the person.
Literally the point of it.
It's literally the point of it. So it's just like,
you can be as messy and lazy.
You can be
and
as weird and random and all over the place as you want, because you're not going to have to just like roll your eyes at the person in bed later and be like, oh, I hate you. So really take advantage of that.
Yeah. Wow, that's beautiful.
Thank you. Next call.
Hi, Stephen and Lily. I love Celebrity Book Club. When I was in isolation with COVID, it's all I listened to, and it kept me so happy. I can't wait for season two. You guys are the best. My question for you guys is, if you had to pick one dead celebrity from hell to co-host the podcast with you, who would you pick and why? Hope you guys are having a sexy and bloody and fun summer, and I hope to see you downtown sometime. Bye.
Okay, hello, Downtonista.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, I feel like my answers are obvious, but I'm just also like,
well, okay.
Joan Rivers or Liz Smith, but the deceased Page Six writer.
Okay, wait, but Liz Smith is also that like political, like, communications person who worked on Buttigieg's campaign, and she also like used to be a reporter. And but Liz Smith is also, I think you're right, she's also in my post.
About,
yeah,
you're like, talking about the ancient.
You're talking about this ancient. Okay, you're not talking about this alive like Pete Buttigieg.
No,
campaign.
What? Okay. I'm like, do you know she's like the biggest?
No, I know. Right.
She's like an iconic
it's with
lesbian.
A Z, Liz. Okay.
It's like, oh, Liz
she's
Smith.
A, she's a lesbian.
I think she's lesbian, and she's like, she like created Page Six.
Okay.
And she's like this deceased gossipista.
So she did say Celebrity from Hell.
Well, I think a lot of people would put Liz
Smith. They would put her in
hell
because like she was toxic.
And of course, like Barbara Walters was like, get out of here, Liz Smith.
Right.
You know, Nancy Reagan was like, oh, I don't want Liz Smith talking about me.
No, and it's like, well, you know what, Nancy Reagan, you should be so fucking lucky.
Seriously. Oh, wait, I'm dying, this random communications manager.
Wait, there's literally an article about Liz Smith getting confused with this comms girl. Okay, living or dead, I mean, I'm not going to bring up Nero again, but...
You can bring up Nero again.
I mean, okay.
If you want
it,
Nero?
Is it... And this is, okay, I'm not to steal Blair Waldorf's answer, but Georges Sand, who was like Chopin's lover, but she was just like this notorious gal about town in Paris.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And like, because Chopin was like kind of a faggot and like was always getting tuberculosis. And like, she was just like such an entrepreneuring, like, girl who's going to parties and was like, a woman has an opinion. And she was like, darling, and I'm smoking a cigarette. And was just, like, being badass.
Okay, this fucking badass Chopin's GF.
Right. And, like, Chopin's not invited because, like, he's a little bitch. Although, his piano playing is stunning. He is one of my favorite pianists. People forget that he actually was also a pianist. You know? He played.
We are not talking enough about Chopin as a pianist. I mean, there's so many dead people. Well, there's also... Just in general.
There's literally so many dead people.
I'm just being such an, again, ancient Palm Springs vintage store owner faggot. Kitty Kelly, who wrote all those unauthorized biographies.
I know. I mean, you're being very celebrity book club, yeah, which is fabulous.
She wrote, you know, the unauthorized biography of Nancy Reagan, Sinatra.
Okay, I guess I do
Diana.
Feel, here's my thing about this person and the Liz Smith is that I'm going to be a little bit like, can you just shut up for a second?
Oh, like, they would be blah, blah,
I
blah.
I do feel like they would be like, blah, 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 at my dinner party. And I'm just like, okay, you're monopolizing the conversation. And I need you to just back it up for a second. Like, and that's why I feel like someone who's like a little bit more like, I mean, even, hello, Anne Boleyn. Like, she was...
Whoops.
So she was Henry VIII's second wife, who he, like, okay. He, like, invented the, like, Church of England for.
Okay. God, the historian faggotry right now is you're like...
So he could get divorced,
I mean,
from, like...
The types of two different gay men we're being, I'm like... Kitty Kelly.
No, we are.
We had 1,000 Gibsons, and you're just being like, Chopin's dear, like, girlfriend. Oh, and Anne-Marie. And no, we would whisper at court.
You're the like, 8-year-old gay who's like, whose partner died of AIDS. And, like, I'm the one who died of AIDS. Like, really,
oh,
really.
Oh, yeah,
on.
So true. And we're always fighting, and I'm like, let's watch an Elizabeth Taylor film. And you're just like, darling, I'm going to read.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna go listen to Chopin. Okay, next call.
Hello, my name's Allison. I have to agree with Lily that Demi Moore isn't plain boots, and disagree with Steven that serving can't be that hard because gay people do it. So I bought the James Bond book series collection at a garage sale for something dumb and fun to read. I knew to expect sexism and racism, but it's, like, way more psycho than I expected. It's fun to read, but it's also, like, very fucked up. So do you have any advice on reading things you're not politically aligned with, like a really heinous text even, maybe like Chastin Buttigieg? Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, it was super traumatizing reading Chastin's book.
Wait, she agrees with me saying Demi's plain boots?
I don't remember Demi's plane. I'm wondering if, like, that means plane as an airplane or plane as in, like,
style. Well, I think, was I saying she's so, like, white shirt and jeans?
Maybe, but I could also see you saying that she's so plain style and, like, denim jacket. It really could go either way.
I mean, I don't know if we're really going to give you the answer on how to read something problematic, because it's like...
Yeah, how to read a problematic text? I don't know, babe.
If you're having fun...
Sounds like you're enjoying. Yeah, separate the art from the artist.
Yeah,
like,
just keep on going. Look, here's my advice.
Yeah, I mean...
No one's canceling you while you're reading.
I know, it's crazy. I mean, you know, people these days are terrified. I mean, they, you know, they're afraid to even listen to a podcast. They're wondering, oh, who's going to know I listened? It's like, consume everything.
It sounds like you want us to cancel you. If you're having fun reading James Bond,
yeah,
just keep on reading it. No one's watching you reading James Bond being like, look at that problematic, James Bond reading bitch.
I just watched Skyfall the other night. Because I was like, oh, I want
such a Bonto.
I'm the biggest Bonto. Well, lately, for I don't know why we got into Bond music, but for some reason...
We've been talking about Bond music for a while, like top 10, top 5 Bond songs.
I've started listening to only Bond theme music the past week.
Okay.
And so every time I leave my house, I put on the GoldenEye Tina Turner song, because
GoldenEye!
It's not quite, it's GoldenEye! I found your witness! And I'm just like, it's such a good stomping song. I feel so fucking sexy. I mean, Tina Turner is like literally
queen.
Absolute queen.
Those, as my mom says, those legs.
Yeah, I mean, honey, they stomp. And I'm just like, my gams could take down an army. I feel super sexy. So yeah, I mean, it's just like, get into it, bitch.
Yeah, get into it.
And then, yeah, I mean, my other tops are like, you know, I love the new Billie Eilish song.
Yes. Well, and also, I love the garbage when you're like,
oh, I love the garbage one too. Yeah.
The world
is not enough, but it is just the perfect place.
Cause Shirley Manson, talk about celebrity crushes. She's hot stuff.
Hot stuff. What's she up to now?
They're just like still doing garbage and
right.
Yeah.
Just like being random.
I went to a garbage concert. I'm trying to do Scottish. Atlantic City, friend of the pod, wait, Sam.
You guys went to Atlantic
Sam,
City to see a garbage
Barb,
concert?
Vanessa. Got kicked out of the garbage concert twice.
Now
before
I,
she
now
was
I
sober.
Remember. Okay, this was the night that you guys came back to the apartment just like drunker than anyone's ever been in history.
We were staying in, again, friend of the pod, Lauren's dad's property. Rental property.
Why do
in
I feel
AC.
Like you came home and Vanessa was still blackout?
That was, I think, a different night. Yeah. Because...
But this was the beginning of her sobriety.
Yeah. No, that concert made her sober.
Wow.
Because when you get... And I remember Shirley Manson was like, might let her back in or something like that to security.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
She fully got pulled out by security?
Yeah. Because she was trying to get to the front, I think.
Oh,
and was
my
being
God.
So insane. And then... But then, like... I guess Shirley Manson, so Scottish, was like, let her back in. But then, because she was being too insane, I got kicked out again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boots.
Absolute boots. And then we went to the only gay club in AC, which is at Resorts Casino.
We never, every time we've been to AC, we've never been to that club.
Oh, we gotta go.
And I've just like been to like a strip club. And just,
no,
like...
that strip club we went to in AC was so sad. And it was like, couldn't do topless. They were just like, writhing to System of a Down with
yeah.
their tops on.
And it
you're
was like so underpopulated. It was like,
ugh. Yeah.
Was that?
Okay, moving on.
Next.
Hi, Stephen and Lily. This is Fran. I love you all the best. It's a joy and a delight, and I hope it never stops. I wanted to ask if you had to completely give the reins over to one of the celebrities whose book you have read to redecorate your home. So you can't do anything. They pay for everything. It's a blank check, but they are completely redoing your space and you have to live in it. Who would you let do that? Also, yeah, I just think you guys are great. I hope the show goes on forever. And thank you so much for who you are and what you do. Okay, bye.
Wow.
Is her name Fran who just asked
yeah,
us?
Yeah, she's the name of Meg's dog.
Okay. I'm in shock. This might be, I love all of our questions. This might be one of my favorite questions.
Yeah, it was actually not we're going where I thought it was going. I really
yeah.
do love this.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Blank check. One of my favorite movies.
I'm looking through the list right now of people. I'm like, not Janice at all.
Because it would just be so white leather couch.
No, I don't want her like big puffy white leather couch with like fake diamond chandeliers or whatever like glam things she's doing. I mean,
not Property Brothers, obviously.
Not David Chang. Don't
actually
want him to put some big weird mural in my house that's like badass. Like,
I think I know.
Are you gonna say Demi Moore?
Nope. Hold on, let me just double check. I'm checking. Okay, I've made my decision.
Oh, is it Kevin Garnett?
Johnny Cochran.
Oh, okay.
Totally, because it's very that it like just yeah. it's like it's modern, it's glass, it's 90s.
I
like
think that would work in your house. My house is so small, I don't think it can really handle Johnny's aesthetic.
Right. The way I see Johnny is just because I guess there's like glass and it could feel like very like fun and entertaining and it's like comfortable but stylish. It feels very that Instagram at the 80s interiors. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I love that Instagram, and I would love that for my house, but I'm just like, I think all the furniture we want would be, like, too big.
But yet, your couch is bigger than, your Joy Bird is bigger than my Joy Bird.
It's huge. Well, I mean, you need a bigger couch. I've told you this.
Well, we've talked about this.
Okay. I'm actually going to say Shania Twain.
Okay, so when we did the Shania Twain episode, we said it was, like, so, you know, much more Swiss, and then, like, when we saw her TikTok, we found it was like a little more boho.
Yeah.
What is, I wonder what you're leaning towards. Like, do you want that
well,
more just
little,
Geneva
little,
vibe?
It's a little bit of both, though, because I okay. am kind of more boho. Actually, I have a lot of Urban Outfitters.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of
no,
Urban
I mean,
Outfitters in this house.
You began the boat when Mary Kay and Ashley came on the scene. You, the necklaces, the beads, your boho.
I was completely insane. And I think that I would benefit from a little bit of her wealth. I would love her to be like, I'm getting you this $20,000 chair or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that she has a mix of naturals, of like natural materials and then like modern stuff that I think would, that I respond to.
I totally agree. And I think the reason why also we chose like both of us chose like the Johnny and the Shania, because I think a lot of our celebrities, as we say, like that we've done like the Sharon, the Demi, and like they're like Buddha, or we have Jennifer Lewis or Janice who are just gonna be white leather couch.
Yeah.
They have this a little bit more like blanket celebrity style of these different ways. And it's like, I do think, right, it's like Shania is getting a funky blanket, but she's also
more thoughtful.
Doing, like, she's getting a glam Aja piece, and it's like
both her and Johnny, I think, have more of a vision. Then they're not just general Buddha or like general like glam Kardashian white leather.
Right.
It's a really good question.
Really good question.
Obviously, I don't want the property brothers in here putting wood, like gray floors.
No,
in my
house. Those gray floors. Oh, disgusting. Second runner up, the Garnett, just to experience an athlete's mansion. To be in such big furniture.
I'm interpreting
and game
the question
rooms.
As they have to redo your current apartment. So like,
right,
that's just, like not even a question. Like Kevin Garnett wouldn't fit in this apartment.
No, he would not fit in either of our apartments.
No.
But just to, I'm just saying the feeling of living inside an athlete's mansion and how big everything would be. Like everything would be so comfortable.
No, it would be so honey, I shrunk the kids.
The fridges would be so stocked with different Gatorades and vitamin waters and Essentias and kombuchas. And the couch would have like 8 cup holders and chargers and like...
so many armrests.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Next question.
I think this is our last one.
Oh my God. I'm obsessed.
It's been such a journey. I love this. This has been such a journey coming. Thank you so much for calling.
Hey, Stephen and Lily. Love the pod. So... the recent episode with Danny Meyer got me thinking that Legato Romagnolos, his dog, are clearly lace curtain Italian dogs. And it made me wonder, Lily, your father, lace curtain Italian? Shanty Italian? Are either of those even a thing? And can you explain maybe a little bit more about meatballs on Thanksgiving? Okay. Bye, besties. Thanks.
Thanks, bestie. That's an amazing question. I mean, here's the thing about my father, and thank you for bringing this up. He's absolutely came from Shanty Italian, which made his personality want to be, I'll call it, Japanese screen Italian. He was so ashamed of his immigrant status. You know, his mother worked in a factory. His father worked in a factory. His mother was her head thrown against the walls. Wow. In the factory, got mercury poisoning from the hats, you know.
It was the Milliner factory, right?
Milliner factory.
They used to put a lot of mercury in hats. A
lot of mercury. Now he says his father could hardly read. He was so ashamed by that, you know. And so he worked hat, wicked hat. Mm. Graduated college, high school at 16.
He was Shanty. He would have been Two Boat.
He would have been Two Boat.
Where they have to stop in Newfoundland to work for, you know, 6 months and then get back on the boat. And it made him become...
it gave him that immigrant drive, grew up in the Bronx.
In a similar way to the way that my mom cosplays as Wasp, where because she grew up poor Catholic, it's like you have this fantasy that you are trying to create.
Right. And it becomes your personality.
Right.
Like as your mother, right, is like, I want to learn French. I want to collect, you know, wines because I grew up, you know, poor in L.A. eating Spam.
Right. I want a tile up in my kitchen that says Beaujolais.
Right. And when I saw, just as a sidebar, I went to this estate sale this past weekend.
Oh, my God, that photo.
And they had the exact same kitchen that you had growing up, where above the stove is covered in tiles that say French words that are Chablis. I don't know. How do you say asparagus in French?
No, it was funny because like some of them, it wasn't all just wines. Like there would be
It was more like
Levain, baguette, artichaut. We're like, okay, random.
But then, you know, it's like clearly he kept some of those traditions, like the meatballs at Thanksgiving. Because my mom says that, when she would go, when she went to his Thanksgiving, it was meatballs. It was, you know, antipasta, lasagna, then the turkey.
So you were just pre-gaming like American Thanksgiving with like a little Italian feast.
I think tons of Italian food. And then they're like, well, we got to do the turkey. So let's do it.
Right. Because my mom was like, we have to do this. It's why we're here.
Yeah. Why we're here. Like, we want the American dream. And then always on, you know, Thanksgiving, mostly with my father, we did stuffed shells.
So it evolved post-divorce. It was just like the turkey got dropped.
Yeah, both my parents kind of dropped the turkey. It's almost like when they were married, it's like, oh, we have to do this turkey thing.
So,
and it's like, well, clearly you guys, neither of you really love the turkey.
The turkey is a heterosexual prison
that we're all in.
Release yourself from the turkey and maybe your marriage will survive. I wonder if they had just...
If they had both been like, yeah, neither of us love turkey. Let's make...
Maybe they would still be together.
Yeah, wow. Good cue.
Ruminate on that.
Yeah. Think about that. Your Thanksgiving traditions. Okay. Yeah,
maybe your parents are doing stuff that fucking...
To celebrate the colonizers.
That fucking kills them on the inside. And they're just doing it because they think they have to.
Slogging through this turkey.
And it's eating them up inside.
Make some meatballs. Make a Moroccan tagine.
Yeah. Maybe make like some... braided shrimp with Thai basil, chili, lime, and a carrot souffle, and a semolina.
A semolina braised apple pie.
Super ducky, super eggy, stuffed baguette.
I just drink Pet Nat because that's what I like to drink right now. And
I'm sorry, I don't follow the rules, and it goes with everything.
Oops.
So, yeah.
Celebrate Thanksgiving your way is kind of the lesson to this question.
But thank you so much for that call. And thank you for all these calls.
Yeah, thank you for all these calls and the detail and listening. And it warms my hat.
Truly warms my little black hat.
Steel hat.
My tiny ice cold hat. Next week's book is a little bit of a curveball.
Yeah, we're doing poetry. That's right. We are intellectual. Not only do we read books, but we read poetry.
By celebrities, in this case,
Jewel.
You know her from Alaska. You know her from
Lilith
Fair,
the 90s.
She's a songwriter, guitar stuff.
She's a lyricist. She's a songwriter. She's a woman. She's a feminist. And
she's
a poet.
Yes. She's a traveler. She's an icon.
She's a sexual woman.
And her book is called A Knight Without Armor, which is very poem.
This one you really can read along with it, though it's a really rare book.
Oh, it's hard to find.
Hard to find. I found it at a thrift store in Ridgewood.
It's out of print.
Or used bookstore. Excuse me.
If you're in Ridgewood, you got Tapas?
I got it at Tapas, and I screamed when I saw it. I was at a poetry reading.
Wow. That's so spirit.
Yeah. And I saw it and I screamed and I was like, I'm buying this. And the woman was like, whoa, simmer. But also I'm excited. Like, you're excited. Like,
I love that you love books, but I need you to keep it down. We're in a really quiet space right now. Wait, and that was before we even had the spot.
Oh, I want to say 2 years before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wild.
Spirit.
And
absolutely
now,
wild.
Here we are.
Here we are reading Jewel's book of poetry. So tune in.
You guys are the reason we get up in the fucking
Seriously.
Morning. Club Kids, you keep us going.
You keep me rocking in this free world.
You keep me young.
Oh, our skin has never looked better since this podcast. Honey, it's broken up.
It's as dewy as an Irish morning.
Not dry as the wheat fields of Tuscany.
Shiny like a pot of gold. The end of a little lesbian leprechaun's rainbow.
Alrighty then. Love you guys. Seriously.
Love you guys so much. Keep.
We gotta go before we get too earnest.
Yeah, keep interacting.
Absolutely.
We're obsessed with the
interaction is fun. We will also be interacting.
Never stop engaging.
Never stop.
Bye.
Have fun. Best.
Best. Celebrity Book Club is presented by Prologue Projects and HeadGum. The show is produced by Meg Minane, with editorial support from Leon Nafak, Andrew Parsons, and Midland Kipling. Our production manager is Persia Valen. She's a squirrely one. You gotta keep a lid on her. Engineering by Ferris Monchi. Original theme song by Stephen Phillips Horst. Artwork by Teddy Blanks at Chips Melbourne. Follow us on Twitter at CBC The Pod. Subscribe on your favourite podcast app, whether that be Stitcher or Hat Radio, or Spotify, Apple. I know that's a big one.
For all you Americans out there, you love your apples. Leave us a review and don't forget to tell your friends and all your pals and your mates about us. Best regards.
That was a HeadGum Podcast. Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.